Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Did it feel just like old times? Did it feel like a weekend in April or May? That's when this should all be happening. But we had a minor delay. And so here we are, first weekend in August. August. I keep saying it to try to make it sink in. It hasn't sunk in yet. August. We have basketball, hockey, baseball, golf, UFC, boxing, NASCAR, soccer. It was crazy. And it was great. And so I hope you enjoyed it, because we waited a long time to be able to say that. It's definitely not a weekend in April. It's not a weekend in May. And no, it's not typical. It's not routine. But it is sports. And these games count. And they matter. And they were entertaining. And they were dramatic. And there were fantastic finishes. And there were rallies. And there were reasons to cheer. And for the first time in 5 months, they were everywhere. Sports were everywhere you looked on Friday, Saturday, Sunday. It was great. Welcome back to the NHL. Of course, the NBA just a couple days into its seeding games, while hockey has jumped right into the Stanley Cup playoffs with these play-in series and the seeding series. But these are actual playoff games, so they've essentially scrapped the last few games of their regular season. We had a big golf tournament leading into the PGA Championship, in which we'll see the best in the world. We had Brad Keselowski winning in Loudoun, New Hampshire, NASCAR. In fact, he's had a bunch of wins since NASCAR returned. And baseball. Sunday night baseball. So funny to me that even in a year that is anything but typical, I mean, you could essentially slap the atypical tag on 2020 with sports and otherwise. And yet, here's Sunday Night Baseball. And boy, does it look a lot like what we've come to expect from Red Sox and Yankees. How about this? Four leads for the Red Sox. Four rallies by the Yankees. Four blown leads by the Red Sox. Their pitching staff will once again be their Achilles heel this season. It seems pretty evident early on. Finally, after those four blown leads and the four ties by the Yankees, it was up to one big bat to break the tie late.
Barnes to Judge. Curveball. Fly ball. Deep left field. Way back there. Aaron Judge. Adios, amigo. Oh, is he hot? His second home run of the night. Aaron Judge is guilty.
I don't know why he doesn't say adios pelota. Instead, he says adios amigo. Aaron Judge did, I guess, figuratively leave the ballpark, but not literally. Man, that ball, though, tattooed, smashed, crushed, smushed. It was a blast, and it was glorious. If you love baseball or you just like to see the mammoth home runs, remember how he really made a name for himself that first year, his rookie season with the home run derby, and all of a sudden, Aaron Judge was all the rage. Well, this was a home run derby type home run, and it came in the eighth inning when, once again, Red Sox pitching had blown a lead. And the guy in front of him was on base because of a walk. The Red Sox radio team, Joe Castiglione being the Hall of Famer, called it the most devastating loss of the season. I know it's early, but they had multiple opportunities to close this one out. Meanwhile, the Yankees, while they are professional And while they want to keep going, there's no member of this Yankees organization that is not ready to move forward, come hell or high water. But they're also enjoying the wins.
You know, our offense is feeding off of each other. Our bullpen's doing their job. We're just having fun out there. I think a lot of us are just glad to be having some baseball and to be back out on the field. So, yeah, like you said, it was a tough grind out game tonight against the Red Sox, like it usually is. But, you know, some guys came in with some clutch hits and we were able to come out with a win.
He's on a mission right now. And, you know, when he got that clean bill of health and right before summer camp started and he started ramping up, there's just been an intensity level to his work, an energy level to the work he's been able to do. And, you know, he's just a great player.
And the 60-game season should fit him. He should be able to stay healthy this entire time. That's Aaron Boone talking about his star player, Aaron Judge, who homered twice, drove in 5 runs, and in fact, connected, went deep for the 5th straight game. The Yankees are among a handful of teams in Major League Baseball who emerged from the weekend with 7 wins. Now, Rob Manfred has admitted it's likely that not every team will play 60 games. They can only do so much finagling with the schedule. Not sure the last time I used the word finagle, but they can only do so much rescheduling, and more rescheduling. They can't be flexible every day all the time because it's really a very complicated, interwoven matrix, especially when the season is so condensed. They don't have a lot of time to play with. And so maybe not every team plays 60 games. The Yankees right now are down a couple of games because of what happened with the Marlins and then the Phillies, which affected the Yankees. And that's what happens. Here are the Cardinals now, postponed through the weekend. And so that affected Milwaukee through no fault of Milwaukee's or New York's. And so they'll attempt to make up as many games as they can, thus the need for the 7-inning doubleheaders. Yankees, Twins, Braves, Cubs, Dodgers all have 7 wins. Speaking of the Dodgers, Clayton Kershaw made his season debut on Sunday. And it was good to see him out there. He wasn't restricted necessarily, but they didn't want him to go 100 pitches. They cut him off in the 6th inning. So he went 5 2/3. He, you know, only had 3 hits, 6 strikeouts, didn't allow a run against the Diamondbacks. So it was good to see him back there. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. What's the best thing you saw this weekend in sports? It's a straight sports question. Haven't asked one of those in a while either. We're live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can. So if you want to find us and weigh in, a lot of you are responding on Twitter, After Hours CBS, or on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. And we also found an easy way to share the video of Alex Ovechkin's son. He's not even 2 years old. His name is Sergei. I was actually looking at his wife's name because I'm a weirdo. Anyway, so the video's up. The Washington Capitals tweeted it, and Dave put it on our Facebook page too. So make sure you check it out. It's like Tiger Woods swinging a golf club when he was 2. So Twitter or Facebook, or you can call us 855-212-4CBS. Couple of bad is such a overused word. A couple of, I don't want to say disturbing, unsettling storylines. How about that? Doug Peterson becomes the 2nd NFL head coach to test positive for COVID-19, though thankfully he is asymptomatic and right now is having to quarantine, and then we'll have to go through all the prerequisite testing again to get back with the Eagles at their facilities. On Monday, you've got multiple NFL teams holding their first squad workouts, likely broken up into groups, but you also have some teams that are getting together for their first all squad meetings, talking about 80 players as well as staff members. And so the intake testing theoretically is done, but of course there are a bunch of guys who did test positive or who have been in contact with someone who tested positive. We don't actually know. That COVID-19 reserve list doesn't necessarily mean that the player himself tested positive for the virus. Gardner Minshew, Matt Stafford becoming the first 2 starting quarterbacks who've hit that list. but the NFL team is not required to reveal any other information. In fact, that would be a violation of the privacy laws, the health and privacy laws. And so right now we just know they're on this list and they're not with the team and they're quarantining for one reason or another. So we'll do a little QB news later in the show because we've got Matt Ryan. We've got the latest from Mike Tomlin on Ben Roethlisberger. Matt LaFleur answering the question of who is your number one QB. But it's not all sunshine and roses, even as the NFL is ramping up. I mentioned Doug Peterson. Now 8 Patriots who have chosen to opt out. And at least a couple that we know of still on the fence. So by far, that is the highest number of any NFL club. Bill Belichick says that he understands, and yet there's criticism even from within his own franchise directed at the NFL.
I respect all of them, and I respect all the players on our team. We all have to make decisions, and I talk to those guys, and they explain their situation, and they had to make the decision that was best for them, and I totally respect and support it 100%.
If there was ever a season where you have to be selfish first before you can be a good teammate, this is it. You have to be selfish first because your family, because your parents, maybe another member of your group that might be high risk. But even if that's not why you're opting out, if you're not fully committed, it's better that you stay away. And so that's what I mean about being selfish first, really doing an examination of your own motives, your own desires, your own abilities, whether or not you want to put them all on the line, whether or not you want to take the risk. Are you going to be fully committed? Because if you're not, you're more of a detriment to your team than you are half-assing it. And so these guys don't need to have a health reason to opt out. Seems like in the case of the Patriots, there's a bunch of them who's either their wives or girlfriends are having babies or just had babies. And so for them, that's the reason that they would rather be home. But at least in 2020, I think it's a waste of time to question anyone's motives, to question anyone's decision-making. This is personal, and it needs to be selfish before it can be about the team. Devin McCourty, though, another one of the veteran members of that defense. Remember, we've already had a couple of big names on the defensive side of the ball decide that they were not going to play this year. Devin McCourty has seemed to indicate that he's on the fence, one member of the McCourty twins in the defensive backfield, and he's ticked at the NFL, even as he's trying to make his own decision. He's ticked off at the league for tinkering with the date by which players have to decide whether or not they will play.
I think it's an absolute joke that the NFL is changing the opt-out period, mainly because they don't want to continue to see guys opt out. I'm sure they're shocked about how many guys have opted out. But it's the same thing when we sign a CBA. Sometimes some of those things that we think are good sometimes backfire. You know, we have rookies who are locked in long-term contracts and tagged. You guys don't think we would love to change that about the CBA, but we can't. That's the point of signing an agreement. So I think it's terrible. I think it's BS that the league has changed that date.
So in the case of the Patriots, I'm shocked. 8 of them, that's a lot from one team. But I wouldn't say I'm shocked, and I don't know that the NFL could be shocked either. You give players the option of opting out, maybe not putting their minds and bodies through the rigors of an NFL season, not to mention all the extras, the testing, the having to give up personal freedoms. And really, there's no guarantee the season will move forward anyway. And so I can understand why some players have decided it's not for them, but 8 from one team? Yeah, definitely. That's a surprise. Devin McCourty speaking to reporters on Sunday, and he believes the NFL is moving the date up because they don't want there to see a mass exodus among athletes. Couple of other pieces of news from the world of sports. One that broke late on Sunday night. Jonathan Isaac, the forward for the Orlando Magic, tore his ACL on Sunday. Oh, gosh, just a terrible scene. If you haven't seen the video, it's out there. But it was one of those non-contact injuries that instantly he crumpled to the floor and had to get help out. And so that sucks. I mean, we know that's a part of sports, but it feels like it's even more unfair in a year where these guys have had their seasons interrupted and waited so long to get back to what they love and get back to what they do best. Not to mention, they've had to jump through so many hoops to get to this point where they're cleared to play. And a couple of games in, Jonathan Isaac tears his ACL. But that was the confirmation from the Orlando Magic late on Sunday. If you haven't seen any of the hockey results from Sunday, pretty spectacular, including the Avalanche scoring with 0.1 seconds remaining to avoid overtime and stun the Blues. So a lot of good drama this weekend, a flurry of activity on the field, the court, the ice. We've missed it. We've been asking for it. We've been waiting for it. And it's finally back. So what was the best thing that you saw this weekend other than Sergei Ovechkin slamming some backhands right into the net? Seriously, so cute. I think the stick is sawed off just for him. So find us on Twitter, After Hours CBS, or on our Facebook page. Thanks for joining us. Good morning to you. It's a Monday. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Hard pulls back, shoots for three. Good! Big time basket, 103-101. And with that hoop, James Harden has just passed David Robinson for 39th on the all-time scoring list. 150 to go. Middleton doubled to Giannis into the paint. Euro steps. Harden stole it from him. Harden picked his pocket. Harden bounced past Westbrook by Middleton. Layup good. 9 in a row for the Rockets. 113-112. They regain the lead.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
If you watch any of these NBA games in Orlando, also, I love this song. This is one of the songs I used to sneak when I was a kid. My mom did not let me listen to the likes of Def Leppard, but every now and then, if I found it on the radio, I'd plug in my headphones, my little yellow Walkman. Oh, I was such a rebel. Anyway, thank you for the Def Leppard. Hey, my nieces say the 80s and 90s are back, so I feel like what's old is cool again. Boom. Chris, do you like Def Leppard? Is that what's happening here?
Why not? They're a good band.
They got the big hair. Oh, they had quarantine hair before there was any quarantine hair.
That's some foresight.
So anyway, you had what's knew about the Rockets being the defense that they played late in the game against the Bucks. In fact, they were down 8 with 3 minutes to go. And what we don't typically see from the Rockets is defense turning the tide. However, that whole hashtag, whole new game, that's what the NBA has on its billboards around the courts in Orlando. And in fact, if you go to Twitter and try it, you'll see the hashtag pops up, whole new game. Well, sure. Okay. So there's a lot of things that are atypical about what they're doing in Orlando. But you know what looked oh so familiar? The Rockets tying an NBA record for 61 three-point attempts in regulation. 61. 61. Oh my gosh. What are the chances they set a new record while they're in Orlando? I would say pretty high. I'm not a betting gal, but some things don't change, and that is the Rockets method of small ball and the Rockets love of jacking up threes from all over the entire court. Craig Ackerman with the calls on the Rockets radio network. So yes, they did have a lot of triples. They made 21 of 61, but they also forced 22 turnovers. And so that was huge. Russell Westbrook. That's what happens when it's a Monday morning. I start talking too fast. Russell Westbrook with 31 points. He actually didn't take a lot of threes. And they didn't shoot particularly well, really. But you don't need to. That's the beauty of the three, I guess, is that you don't have to make half of them even. You just have to make enough that it puts you over the top. But really, the defense of P.J. Tucker and James Harden down the stretch was huge. And the Milwaukee Bucks did not take care of the basketball. If you missed my conversation with Eric Name, who covers the Bucks for The Athletic, he joined us live in our second hour. And he said that a major theme post-game with the Bucks locker room was that they haven't played a whole lot of close games this season. And so it's good for them to face adversity down the stretch in close games because they need to feel that pressure as preparation for the postseason, which is right around the corner. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. Our toll-free line is 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4227. What's the best thing you saw this weekend in sports? It's all about sports. Rusty on Twitter, A-Law Radio, says the return of the GOAT, Clayton Kershaw. I really did enjoy watching Clayton, for sure. It was good to see him back on the mound. I'm glad that the back injury, remember it was sustained lifting weights a couple days before the season started, and he was hoping it wouldn't be a big deal, but it kept him out for about a week. He went out there on Sunday and tossed 5 2/3 scoreless innings in his season debut.
That was fun. I missed it. You know, it was hard to miss opening day, obviously. And, you know, I was a little, you know, not worried, but I didn't know how long it was going to take for my back to get better. And then I bounced back pretty quick. And so just thankful I got to get out there today. And, yeah, I felt good. It was awesome just to be back out there and get a win. It felt good.
In an early season, and I think it's going to happen all year, where pitching is at a premium and where we're hearing more about injuries to pitchers than we are about these phenomenal dominant performances. In fact, it's not true that the pitchers are ahead of the hitters. I think it's fairly obvious that particular analysis turned out to be bogus. Right now, home runs are up and strikeouts are up. So it just continues the pattern of 2019. There have been, it's been a home run barrage. There have been so many homers over the first week of the season. They're not going to be able to set a new record, but maybe a new record for the first 60 games of any season if we're comparing sample sizes. And so there have been a lot of pitcher injuries. And it's good to know that Clayton Kershaw was able to get back relatively quickly considering some of the various maladies that he has had to deal with on that same body part, his back. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. Now, also from baseball, major drama, but not on the field. I'm telling you, it was too good to be true. I knew it. I was waiting for the other shoe to drop. Every time I heard something positive about Yoenis Cespedes, there was this little voice in my head saying, it's just a matter of time. It's just a matter of time. Now, I expected that it would be an injury of some sort. Probably not sustained while playing baseball. Because that's what he does. He takes risks. He sabotages his career when things are going well. Honestly, I don't think he's happy playing baseball. Or maybe he just really hates the Mets and this was the way for him to get out. Of course, he doesn't like the money or doesn't hate the money that the Mets pay him. On Sunday, Mets have the early game against the Braves. They can't find Yoenis. He's nowhere to be found. He doesn't show up at the ballpark. He doesn't let anybody know. Not Luis Rojas, his manager, not any of his teammates, not his GM, Brody Van Wagenen. Nobody knows where he is. The Mets are so concerned, they send team security to his hotel room in Atlanta. Oh, guess what they found? He's gone, so is his stuff. He rounded up all his belongings and departed. Probably not on his horse, though he has shown up to practices before on his horse. They can't find him. They don't know where he is. He leaves the agent to clean up his mess and let the team know that he is opting out because of COVID-related concerns. I'm telling you what, I am impressed with Brody Van Wagenen because there is no way I would have been able to remain as cool and as self-controlled as he was when he finally made the announcement about Yoenis following their loss to the Braves.
First and foremost, I'm glad to say and to hear that he's healthy and he's safe. And we learned during the game today, late in the game, that he's decided to opt out of the remainder of the season for COVID-related reasons. First off, you know, we support everybody's and every player's right to make this type of decision. And, you know, this is a challenging time for everyone. And so we will support him in that decision. It was surprising without question. And at the same point, we have to go forward.
So Brody Van Wagenen is very controlled. I mean, he is good at that. He was an agent for a long time, so he's very measured. Support Uranus. Great. Agreed. If any player out there wants to sit out this season, that's a personal decision. But to go AWOL and not tell anyone, here's what Uranus reminds me of. Do you guys ever see the movie The Runaway Bride with Richard Gere and Julia Roberts? Uranus Cespedes is the runaway bride. Just when things are seemingly calm, when he should be content, happy even, when his life is healthy, when he's found some productivity, he sabotages it. He chases a wild boar on his ranch. He goes golfing when he's supposed to be injured. He just runs. He cannot stay in a place where there's no drama. He's the runaway bride. He gets happy feet and off he goes. And this time he did it without telling anyone. I'm telling you, I knew it was going to happen. I knew something was going to derail Yoenis Cespedes in 2020, which, by the way, is the last year of his contract with the New York Mets. You can find me on Twitter, ALOL Radio. Chris said to me earlier that probably only 15% of our audience would get the Runaway Bride reference. Do you still think that, Chris? Did you ever see the movie? I know you're not really a chick flicker, but did you ever see the movie?
I know of it. I've never seen it.
Brad Heller, are you listening? Are you there? Are you there somewhere?
I'm here.
Did you see Runaway Bride?
No.
You're not a chick flick person either?
No.
Not a Julia Roberts fan?
No, I didn't say that. No, just didn't see that movie.
Well, it's really cute. But anyway, it fits him perfectly. The premise of the movie is that she gets engaged over and over and over again. And every single time she gets engaged, it's her opportunity to walk down the altar and she gets, or walk down the aisle to the altar. And she gets halfway down and gets this look in her eyes and then bolts, turns around and runs. And so they know her in her small town as the runaway bride. That's Uranus Cespedes. He can't possibly stay happy and in one place. He's got to run. He's got to fix it somehow.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Third and six, Prescott back, throws it right. There's a slant to the 30 and a walk-in touchdown. There's a flag. Gallup is going to stroll in for his third touchdown of the day.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Football play-by-play gets my juices. What do they do? Do they boil? Do they flow? Gets my juices flowing? I don't even know. I backed myself into a corner there. It doesn't really do anything to my juices, if you much know. But it gets me excited. I didn't need to get all flowery. I am really, really excited about football, except I know I have to temper that excitement because, like every other sport, this is the danger zone and they're in a precarious position until they can get everybody in and acclimated to the testing and the protocols. And even then, it requires a lot of personal responsibility. But when I hear a highlight like that one on the Cowboys Radio Network with Brad Sham, or when I see all the photos of the guys in their new uniforms, so maybe you saw those on social media Sunday, new uniform numbers, just new digs, new duds, I should say, in their new digs. Lots of players that are getting new uniforms because they've changed teams. Media day photos and videos and everything else. Lots of smiles. We're not that far out. And I know right now it feels like the headlines are guys opting out, guys testing positive, guys hitting the COVID-19 reserve list. And that certainly is what's going to make headlines early. But the NFL and its franchises can afford to be uber cautious, like over the top cautious right now, because there doesn't need to be a sense of urgency. There are no preseason games. They're working on trimming rosters. They're getting together for their first workouts, their first practices. You'd rather send somebody home to quarantine now as a precaution than to deal with it later on. And so they've got the time with still a full 5+ weeks until the season opener. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Our toll-free line is 855-212-4227. It's sponsored by Geico. Did you know right now Geico offers an extra 15% credit on car, motorcycle, and RV policies? And that's on top of what Geico can already save you, so no need to wait. Visit geico.com to learn more. There are some teams that have already had their first full in-person meetings. No more Zoom calls. No more Brady Bunch screens where everybody's divided up into the little squares. Nope. Among other teams, the Dallas Cowboys holding their first in-person meeting, and Coach Mike McCarthy getting to address the Cowboys for the first time in person.
It's great to finally be able to stand in front of you and get started on this unique, very unique opportunity. Obviously, anytime you got a chance to be part of an NFL opportunity, it's special. But I think stating the obvious, the uniqueness of this battle with COVID that we got in front of us, not only just here professionally, but personally. For the 13th, we'll have our traditional, you know, big team meeting. It'll be more like the traditional training camp I'm sure you guys are accustomed to. Everything we do will be about winning, okay? Personally, even more so, the investment from the organization, staying in tune with the education, the resources that are, I mean, this has been a moving target. If you guys were in here a week ago, this particular part of the facility didn't look this way. So we're still working to keep upgrading and making everything as safe as possible. All right, men, have a great day. Thank you.
Have a great day, men. Thank you. I have almost, I wouldn't say forgotten, but I've put them on the back burner, all of the storylines that came out of January with coaching changes and then free agency in March following the Super Bowl and their dead period, the new CBA that they barely ratified as a union, and then the draft. And we had a bunch of NFL players on the show. We talked to them about going through Zoom meetings instead of OTAs. And then there was a bit of quiet, and the NFL was working on its protocols and writing its manual. I don't know how long its manual is compared to Major League Baseball with, what was it, 113-something pages? But I do know that all this time, I believe the NFL had the benefit of being the last major team sport to get back to business, being able to learn from everything else that has happened before it, even going back to the return of NASCAR and golf. I mean, those two sports deserve a ton of credit. They've operated this entire time. UFC, soccer, both the NWSL and now MLS. And now here we are, baseball, hockey, hoops have all returned. And football, it's nearly your turn. And Coach McCarthy's right about the unique opportunity. But to me, this is still the danger zone. We got to know these guys are taking it seriously. They have to decide. If I'm going to play, I'm all in. Not just for me personally, but for my teammates. Because my decisions more than ever affect everybody else in that locker room.
Let's just state the facts. I mean, I'm a highly successful NFL head coach.
So it's good to hear Mike McCarthy's voice again. I wonder if he noticed that Dak Prescott is ripped. Oh my gosh, this photo was also making the rounds. Mike Fisher, he's a Dallas Cowboys insider for our affiliate in Big D, 105.3 The Fan. He comes on the show every now and then. He posted this photo of Dak, which I believe was some kind of a promotional photo that he was doing a partnership with a friend of his. Not sure if it was a musician. I didn't get all the details. But it's Dak throwing a football without a shirt on. And he, forget washboard abs. The man doesn't have an ounce of fat on him. So maybe that is meant to intimidate the Cowboys. It's too late now for them to negotiate and do the contract extension. But if ever there was motivation and a time to prove himself, this is it. But it can only be good for the Cowboys if he goes above and beyond. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. Mentioned we have a little bit of QB news. How about, well, a team that's been the Cowboys' nemesis in the playoffs, recently, and that is the Green Bay Packers, who last year were the number two seed, got smashed in the NFC Championship. Remember, it was scoreless at halftime? See what I mean? You almost have to pull these facts and these memories out of the nether reaches of your football brain because it seems like so much has happened since then. Like the Packers moving up in the draft to grab Jordan Love in the first round. Of course, Matt LaFleur has since heard Aaron Rodgers' comments, being peeved, drinking tequila, not understanding what the team was doing, feeling like he can see the writing on the wall. I don't know. It almost sounds to me like Matt LaFleur is doing damage control in his video conference call.
Right now, most importantly, Aaron's our quarterback, and I see him here for a really long time. And however long that is, I don't think anybody knows. Nothing's guaranteed in this league. But I feel so lucky to be able to work with him on a daily basis.
So lucky.
You know, I don't see that changing for a really long time.
I am so lucky in love. Okay, maybe Matt LaFleur is really lucky and feels so lucky. And maybe he's just so happy to work with Aaron Rodgers for a really long time. And I suppose if you are an NFL head coach, Aaron Rodgers is your best friend if he's on your roster. However, to me, it sounds a little bit like some kiss butt to smooth things over. Let's just make sure the whole world knows I'm so lucky to have Aaron Rodgers as my quarterback. Mike Tomlin's not gushing about Big Ben. You know, he's all business. But he does have good news about his starting quarterback.
We didn't have him throw here yesterday. We've really been focusing on getting to know these young guys. But obviously, he's been throwing, and that throwing has been going well. We like where he is. We don't have any reservations about him being a fluid participant in this training camp process.
Always leave it to Mike Tomlin to come up with a unique way to say whatever it is that he needs to say. A fluent participant. At first, I wasn't sure if he said fluid. Fluent, as in frequent, affluent, a fluent participant. I love Mike Tomlin. He never changes, whether it's video call, whether it's conference call over the phone, whether it's in person, never changes. Same guy. In Atlanta, Matt Ryan also did a video conference call. Now, no one's worried about him losing his starting job with the Falcons, of course, but there are a lot of changes on their team. And also, it feels like a prerequisite right now. Every quarterback who does any type of an interview has to answer a question about Pat Mahomes and his contract and what it means for the NFL and just the sheer power of the number.
He's been such a dynamic player since he's come into the league. And, you know, I think it's good for him. I think it's good for their organization, too. You know, there's long-term stability there. And, you know, they know what they've gotten him in terms of a player, in terms of a leader. And, you know, he's been unbelievable. And I'm happy for him.
It's good. I feel like every quarterback should be happy for him. Not that every quarterback is going to get that kind of money. And it may not affect the market that much. Depends on who you ask. There are some people out there, analysts, who would tell you this absolutely sets the market for the next quarterback, the next domino to drop, but others who will tell you, no way, this is far and above what most starting quarterbacks can expect or even ask for in the NFL. But who knows? The finances are all in flux. It's definitely a fluid situation because of the potential for the season without fans. And yes, they make a lot of revenue from TV, but who knows what's going to happen with the salary cap moving forward and how that might affect contracts. One more from Matt Ryan, and this is about the safety, the way that Atlanta is handling all of these new guidelines and protocols.
I got to give our credit, our organization, a lot of credit. They have it set up really well to keep us as safe as possible. I got my little tracker on in the building. I'm the only one in this room right now, so I got no mask on, but I feel good about what they've done, and I'm hopeful that we'll be able to play come September.
We definitely have gotten to that place where if you're not wearing your mask as an athlete, it's almost like you have to explain it. not just as an athlete, but as a public figure. Sometimes when I post photos from inside my own house, people write to me and say, where's my mask? I don't wear a mask inside my own house. I really hope you don't feel like you have to wear a mask inside your own house. That would stink. So yes, nowadays, if you do any type of a video call, you almost need to explain why you aren't wearing a mask. What's the best thing you saw this weekend in sports? It was so great to have all these options to choose from. I feel like my remote thumb is a little bit fatigued this morning. I had to work it out. I haven't used those muscles in quite a while. A lot of you weighing in from the Baltimore area telling me that the Orioles sweeping the Rays was the best thing you saw this weekend, which is great. Rashad says, my O's got their first series sweep since 2018 this weekend. Jerry, the Celtics beating the Blazers had a big lead, but we held on. Kind of. I mean, you gave up the lead, but then came back and won it again. I think Thomas is being sarcastic when he says, how about them Red Sox? Definitely think he's being sarcastic. So a lot of you excited about your baseball team, but also about the variety and the fact that there was so much to choose from. Pete says TJ Warren, team record 53 points, lighting up Philadelphia. So he's a Pacers fan. It was great, right? To have a full weekend. And every sports channel you looked at had something that would appeal. Cool. It makes the job a lot more fun, too. We're back tonight. Have a great Monday. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
Boom! This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.